All right, who's got their Bible today? Who's got it here? Who can raise their Bible and say it with pride and say, I got my Bible? Not enough. You guys need to bring your Bible. This is the Word of God. So we're going to open it. Take it like this. Open it. Exodus chapter 2, verse 11. Is everybody there that has their Bible? Because not everybody has their Bible. Verse 11 says, many years later, when Moses had grown up, he went out to visit his own people, the Hebrews, and he saw how hard they were forced to work. I'm reading from a different translation than probably most of you have, so if you're confused, it's still the Bible. It's just a different translation. So this is the New Living Translation. Anybody proud New Living Translation people? On the phone. Okay, sweet. iPhones. During his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure nobody was watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. See, a lot of people don't know that Moses killed a man. Moses killed a man. We're going to stop right there. I'm going to talk a little bit about this. See, Moses was growing up with the Egyptians, right? He was taken in the house of Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh's daughter brings him into the house and accepts him as her own child. So he's raised as an Egyptian, but he's a Hebrew. And so he's got it good. He lives in this palace. He's got everything that he needs. He's got goats and pigs. He wants some bacon. He can just go kill a pig and eat some bacon. Right? He is stacked. He probably have somebody else make him the bacon because he's got servants and he's got everything he needs. But see, he starts to realize that his people, the Hebrews, are not doing too well. Right? He starts to see this brokenness. He starts to see them as slaves because they were all slaves. Right, and getting whipped and beaten, and something starts to trigger in him. Right, he starts to see this and realize this isn't right. This isn't okay. You know, he had everything going on for him. He could have just ignored it and lived the life of an Egyptian and been fine. But something stirred up inside of him when he saw that brokenness, and he killed a man. Now, granted, it wasn't the right thing to do by killing a man, but he had that passion inside of him that stirred him to do something. So then he runs away, but then God calls on him, and he decides to use Moses and use that passion inside of Moses to take the Israelites out of Egypt. Yeah. Right? He uses Moses, the guy who killed a man. He uses him to take his people because he had that passion for his broken people. He saw a need, and he stood up to it, and God used him. So he takes him out of Israel or out of Egypt and does all these miracles in Jesus' name or in God's name, right? He does these miracles. He parts the sea with his little cane thing, his staff, right? Parts the Red Sea and they walk across it. Right? He hits a rock and water starts spurting out of it. Right? That doesn't happen every day. Sees that burning bush, but it's not, the leaves and stuff aren't really burning, but it's on fire. Right? He sees all these things and he does all these miracles, miracle after miracle after miracle God does through him. Now we're going to move to Exodus chapter 33. And it says this, verse 12. One day Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it's true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us. For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. The Lord said to Moses, I will indeed do what you have asked. For I look favorably on you and I know you by name. Then Moses responded, then show me your glorious presence. Or show me your glory. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. God, I thank you for the message you've placed on my heart. God, help me to speak it with clarity tonight. Father, I pray for every heart in this room. God, that this message will land on soft soil. God, that a seed will be planted. God, that you will minister to each one of us tonight, God. Father, we are willing and we want to receive from you tonight. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, so Moses has done miracle after miracle after miracle, right? God has done it through him. He's seen the unbelievable, the impossible happen, right? Just previously in verse 11, it says the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. So he has this face to face relationship with God. Just like me talking to you guys. You guys can hear me, right? He could hear the voice of God that clearly. He could hear it. He knew what God was speaking to him. He had a better relationship with God than anybody else. And he still wanted more. And it wasn't this like prideful, God, I need more, I need more, I need more. No, he just wanted to know God more. He was with him and he knew that God was with him and taking him through this whole time and the walk out of Egypt. Right? He knew God was with him because he couldn't part the sea by himself with a stick. That's impossible. You guys tried it? It doesn't work. Little kid with a stick in the water, you know, come on, God, show me your glory. It doesn't work unless God does it through him, right? So God was with him, and he knew this. But he said, God, I want more. God, I need more of you. I have a face-to-face relationship with you. I hit a rock and water comes out, but I still want more. Manna's coming from heaven. If you don't know what manna is, neither do I. It's just some bread stuff that's coming out of heaven, right? Amazing stuff, and they eat that stuff all the time. God is so faithful to them and keeps doing miracles through him, but he still wants more. He says, God, show me your glory. He's saying, I'm not satisfied. I need more of you. Now, if we turn to Hosea chapter 13, Hosea is towards the end of the Old Testament. It says this. This is God talking, and he's talking about the Israelites. He said, when I fed them, they were satisfied. When they were satisfied, they became proud. Then they forgot me. Just think about this scripture. He said, I fed them and they were satisfied. Right? He gave them manna from heaven. Gave them water out of rocks. He gave them everything they needed. But they came to this point of being satisfied. They thought they were good enough. They thought, well, you know, God's been faithful. All this has happened. You know, I'm good. What else? What else is out there? Right? They start worshiping some golden calf that they built because they didn't get it. They got to this point where they were full. They thought they already had everything that the Lord had given to them. Right? They thought they had it all. Yeah. The Bible says that was pride. Pride got in their way and stopped them from growing. No, I think this is something that all of us go through, and we become full. We get this feeling of I already know it. I already got it. I got everything I need to know already. There's nothing else you can teach me. Right? You're probably listening to me right now thinking, there's nothing you can tell me that I don't already know. But some of us are like that. I know I was like that. When I was 19, I went on this cruise. Anybody been on a cruise? You guys are too young to go on a cruise. There's some of you. I was 19, I went on a cruise with my cousins. If you haven't been on a cruise before, it is amazing. The food itself is completely worth it, right? You go, I'm not joking, it's good food. It's expensive, but it's amazing. You can eat as much food as you want. So I go there first night, and there's this list of like 6 items. I don't know, I made that number up, about 6 items. And I couldn't decide between the filet mignon. Did I say that right? Mignon. and the lobster. I was stuck, you know, filet mignon, lobster, filet mignon. And so the server comes up and what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. I can't decide the filet mignon or the lobster. And he's like, okay. I'm like, what does okay mean? He starts writing something down. He's like, I gave them both to you. What? They already give you appetizers. They give you like calamari or something ridiculous. And they give you some salad. Some of you guys are like, this sounds gross. Who likes just macaroni and cheese and you're satisfied and some pizza and spaghetti? You simple people, come on. Dude, go big or go home. Get some calamari, some lobster. So I had everything. He gave me both. You guys think I'm talking about being full, like physically with food, but this actually has nothing to do with the story I'm going to tell. I just wanted to throw you off and make you guys hungry and want to get out of here early and go eat. So anyways, every day after that, he would ask me what I wanted. I'd tell him, and he'd add something else and give me two meals every time. It was amazing. I ate so much. Anyways, so then I went to Grand Cayman Island. And Grand Cayman Island is an island in the Grand Caymans. Anyways, it was one of the stops that we made. You make a stop in Jamaica, and then you make a stop there. And so I went there, and the first part of the day, I went out and I swam with the stingrays. Really, I did. It was pretty awesome. You go out into the middle of the ocean, and it's shallow. That wasn't me, I promise. It was... Don't judge me right now. Do what I want to. I got the microphone. Oh, is this thing? I didn't even notice it. So anyway, so I'm swimming with the stingrays, and they can, you know, they can lay on you and they don't sting you. They're non-stingy stingrays. And so it's quite amazing. You guys are still laughing at that, aren't you? Completely distracted. Come on. If I take that away, there's a big hole in the back of that. And so you guys definitely won't pay attention. So anyways. So then we have the whole second half of the day, and so I'm with my cousin, who's a female. This is important later if you're wondering why I had to mention that. I'm not sexist. It's part of the story. So me and her and my little cousin, second cousin, his name's Tommy. So me, Molly, and Tommy, Molly, and I all decide to go and rent mopeds. Now, why are you laughing? You guys know where this story's going to go? So I decide to get a moped. We're going to rent a moped. We're going to go drive around, little scooter things, you know. And so Molly's like, Reed, have you been on these before? Do you know what you're doing? Can you do this? And I'm like, yeah. I've never been on it, right? I've been on a bicycle. It's kind of hard to fake ride a bicycle. You can only do one wheel at a time. Anyways, so never been on like a motorized two-wheel thing. I've barely been on a four-wheeler. Some of you probably, you know, you grew up in Alaska, so you've ridden snow machines and those things. Never been on a snow machine. Barely been on a four-wheeler. I had my license. I could drive a four-wheeled car, you know, but I'd never been on any of these things before, but I thought I had it all. I was like, yeah, dude, I could do it. I was like, you can do it, right? She's a female. She's like, yeah, I've done it. I've done it a lot. Well, I'm thinking, you know, if she can do it, of course I can do it. Prideful, right? Very, very prideful. I was 19. Don't judge me. That was a long time ago. So I get on this thing, and I'm a little wobbly to start out. I take a little ride around the block, and then there's a stop sign, and I didn't really figure out how to stop, so I just kind of went through that stop sign, and there's a bus coming by. And so I stopped myself on the bus. Barely, almost died. It was going really slow, but I felt like I was going to die. So, anyways, I keep going. I go back to the place, and I'm like, okay, I was supposed to take Tommy, the little cousin, right? And so I was like, you know, why don't you just take him? And I'm kind of shaky. I can't really do it. So the shop's like right here. We pull out of the moped shop, and we go to the first light. Now, this is like half a block. This is not very far away. I can still see the store from where I'm at. I just literally gotten on the road. And in Grand Cayman Island, you drive on the left side of the road. So I'm taking a right-hand turn. Never driven on the left side of the road before. But I figure I can do it with a moped, which I've never done either. that makes sense. So I get on my moped, I'm driving, right, and I'm making this left-hand turn. Now, the roads are already narrow, and there's cars on both sides of the street, parked cars. And then there's these two women that start walking by. And, you know, there's a sidewalk on the other side of where the cars are. But they decide to walk on the inside of where the cars are just to make it more difficult for me. So I'm making this turn, and I'm coming in like this, and I see these people. I'm like, that's going to be bad if I hit them. So I decide I'm going to pull back a little bit and hit the brakes. Well, I haven't figured the brakes out yet. So my reaction for some reason is to pull. Is that your reaction, to pull to stop? I don't know. So I pull like this. You guys know where this is going. So I hit the gas, boom, and I just start gunning it out. And these ladies are like freaking out. Ah, ah, and I'm like, ah, and they're like, ah, you know, and I just, boom, and then I spun the last second and went, boom. I ran into a parked car. My knee hits the side, my foot kicked something, my head slammed into the top. There's like three huge dents on this car. This car is destroyed. It was a nice car. It was a blue car. I don't know what kind of car it was, but it was blue. That's all I remember. It was nice before I hit it, and it's just destroyed. And this, so I'm, you know, I'm kind of trying to come back into it, trying to figure out what's going on, you know. And I look around, I start hearing this noise, I start hearing this screaming. And so I hear this lady comes up to me and starts going, "You lick her, you lick her." I'm like, "What?" It's like, "You lick her." And I'm like, you know, what is going on? Am I imagining this? Like, did I die and go to heaven? Someone's yelling at me in there. I'm like, what is going on here, right? And so she is just yelling and pointing. And so I turn and I look at her friend, and her friend's going like this, holding her neck. And this lady's yelling at me, "You lick her? You lick her?" I was like, I don't even know what that means. I didn't lick her. That is weird. I don't just go around licking people. Okay, maybe I licked the car when my head smashed into it, but I didn't lick her. Apparently that means hit, so I didn't hit her. Anyways, long story short, supposedly she thought I hit her. Maybe she just, I don't know, got scared and moved her neck a little bit. But I had some witnesses say that I did not hit her and I hit the parked car. That was the whole purpose of hitting the parked car, so I didn't hit her. So, long story short, cops came, witnesses came. She went into the ambulance. I'm bleeding from my head, bleeding from my leg. Thought I broke my foot. Didn't go in the ambulance. Prideful. And nothing happened. That was about it. You actually can't press charges. Can't sue in Grand Cayman Island. Hallelujah. So $500 later, after I paid for that car and the damage, I got back on the boat and enjoyed the rest of my cruise. The point of me saying this is that I was full, right? I had everything. I thought I knew everything. I thought if my friend or my cousin, who's a girl, could ride a little moped thing that, you know, it can't go that fast, right, then I could do it. I thought, nobody can teach me. She's like, "Well, why don't you let me just show you some things?" I'm like, "No, I got it figured out. I've got it figured out. I don't need any help." The problem was I was full. I was satisfied with what I knew, which was absolutely nothing. I was satisfied. I was full. See, this is what happened to the Israelites, is that they were satisfied. They had everything that they thought they wanted, they thought that they needed, but actually they didn't have anything. They were pulling away from the Lord. And it says that they forgot Him. They left Him. You know, I think we do this at times as Christians. We get to this point of being full. We get to this point of we hear message after message after message, and we think, "Well, I've already heard 100 other messages. What more could I learn? I've already heard this message." So we immediately just close off and we stop listening. Right? Or we think, a lot of us think, "Well, I'm already saved. I already have salvation. I already prayed that prayer. I'm good. I don't need to go on and work on my character. That doesn't make any sense. I'm saved." Right? And we get that and we use that as a crutch, as an excuse why we're not growing anymore. And we become full. Our hearts become full. And it's pride. It's pride that's inside of us saying that we can't grow anymore. Or we don't need to grow anymore. We get to this point where we think, I've already been saved. I've already been to 3 small groups. It's 2 more than this other guy. Right? 3 of them. I'm doing good. I prayed this week. God healed the person through me. I'm amazing. I am good. I'm good to go. Maybe we don't verbalize this, but we think it in our heart. We think that, well, I've already done these kind of things. I'm a good person. You know, I've preached the gospel to 3 people. Why do I need to keep growing? And we become in this place of complacency. I think our church, the church in general, is in a place of complacency because we don't want to go out of our way to do something that's hard. We feel full. We feel like I already got it all. I already understand it. Why do I need to keep growing? You know, Paul even talks about pressing on. If we look to the book of Philippians, Paul the apostle, amazing man of God, right? Went through all this suffering and all this pain for Christ to preach the name of Christ. And he says this, Philippians 3:12 says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. We think if anybody could have been full, it could have been the Apostle Paul. Paul did so much for God, endured so much suffering, and he still said, I have not achieved it. He still said, I'm not there yet, but I press on. And he says, forgetting the past and moving forward. I think a lot of times we hold on to that thing that we did in the past. Like, well, God really moved in me and threw me that one GM camp 3 years ago. You know, I'm good. And we just start kind of cruising off of that little experience that we had. Or I'm already saved, so I'm just going to keep staying complacent and doing the same thing. I'm good. But see, that's not what God is calling us to. You know, I think our spirit is like our stomach. Sounds kind of weird. But I don't know about you, but well, when I was younger, I still do this a lot, but when I was younger especially, I would eat so much till I was like completely full, like my stomach's like right here. I filled up my entire stomach and it was like coming up like my lungs and my throat too, you know, just kept eating till that like very last second where you're about to puke, you know, you eat one more bite and you know you're going to throw up. I would get to that point every single time that I ate. I thought that's what you're supposed to do. You eat till you're full, about to throw up. So I would do that over and over, and sometimes I still do that because I like to eat. My metabolism works fast. That's why I'm so skinny. Is that I can do it again in like 2 hours. Fill that stomach right back up and keep going. But see, you never hear anybody say, man, 3 weeks ago I ate this filet mignon and it was so amazing. And I've just kind of not eaten anything ever since then. You know, it's filled me up and it is good. I can still taste it. Like, you didn't brush your teeth. That's disgusting if you can still taste it. Right? And nobody says that. That's impossible. You would die if you waited 3 weeks. It's ridiculous. But see, we do that with our spirit. Right? We fill that up and we get blessed and someone prays for us and we raise our hands during the worship service and we feel full. And God fills us up. He fills our spirit up. And that's good. But in the same way your stomach gets hungry again afterwards, your spirit gets hungry again afterwards and needs more. We shouldn't just take that that spirit and fill it up till it's full, and then just ride it out for months at a time and just live off of those past experiences. God is not calling us to that. Paul says, I press on to finish the race. We're in this series on how should I be. And the title of my message is Dissatisfied. Sounds kind of depressing, but the fact is this, is if we get satisfied, if we fill ourselves up and we just kind of ride it out, that's saying that we're full and we're satisfied. That's saying that we can't learn anymore. We've already peaked. We've already reached the top. I'm good to go. I don't need anything else. See, that's what satisfied says. And that's pride. That's prideful by thinking that you know everything, by thinking that, God's already done everything He can in you. See, God has made you and me and all of us. He has made us in perfection and wants us. He has destined us to do great things. He's destined you for greatness. He never picked a single person and destined them to have a mediocre life. God doesn't do that. He calls us out to be great. But too many times we get full too early and we feel like, I can just kind of ride this one out. I'm just, you know what, I'm good for now. I don't need to keep growing. But our spirit is saying, I need more. See, Moses had everything he needed. He led his people out of Egypt, right? He had a million people. Can you imagine a million whiny people leading them out of Egypt? That is ridiculous. In the hot and the heat, everybody whining, I don't have any food, I don't have any water. And then you hit a rock and water starts coming out. You know, but they were probably just whiny people. Right? But Moses, who had done miracle after miracle and saw God move time after time and spoke to him face to face, he still said, God, show me your glory. He still said, God, I want more. Paul did the same thing. After suffering, God, I still want more. Joshua waited in the tent of meeting where the Spirit of God was. And when Moses would leave, Joshua would stay in there and say, God, I want more. Because he was dissatisfied. This is how we need to be, is dissatisfied. There's times where you'll feel full and it's good, and it's good to experience God. And you feel satisfied for a little bit. But we always need to be asking for more and crying out for more and reaching for more and asking God, do more inside of me. Let me grow closer to you. Let me know you better today than I did yesterday. See, if we live our lives the same every day, we're not growing. We're just complacent. And that's not how we're supposed to be. If we look in Colossians 2:6, it says, and now, just as you accepted Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. It says you must continue to follow Him after you have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. After you have been saved, you don't stop there and say, I'm saved, I can do whatever I want now. But it's okay, I'm saved, you know. I can drink every once in a while. I can get drunk on the weekends. It's okay. I'm saved. But God is calling us to a higher calling than that. The Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. To work out your salvation. That word work is, it's a command that involves a continuous and repeated action. It means continually work out your salvation. Continue to grow in the Word of God. Continue to call out on God. Continue to do this. Don't stop. And be full and satisfied after you've gotten saved. You know, Moses looked at his, when he started to realize, he looked at the Hebrews. And he started to see the brokenness. He started to see the hurt and the pain in the people. He started to see them getting beaten. He started to realize that something is wrong. You know, if we look out in our nation right now, you can see the brokenness. If you go to your school, you can see the brokenness. If you look at your friends or your family or their family, there's brokenness all over this nation, all over this state. You know, 1 in 3 people will be divorced in our nation. That's the statistic, is 1 in 3 people get a divorce. That's high. You know what it is in the church? 1 in 3 people. It's the same in the church as it is outside the church. Because we've become complacent. Because we've compromised and said, salvation is good enough. I don't need to keep growing. I don't need to work on my character. I don't need to work on integrity. I'm good where I'm at. I don't need to keep growing. That's what our society tells us. You know, something like 83% of the nation of the U.S. claim to be Christians. 83%. But only 40% attend church regularly. Only half of them. Not that going to church is what makes you saved. But only half of them attend church regularly. And there's still so much brokenness. You know, if the 83% of this population was sold out for Jesus and lived their lives of integrity and character and continued to grow after Him and grow and seek Him more, do you think that the marriage or the divorce would be so high in this place? Do you think that we would have the abortions that we have now? Mariah was talking about this earlier. With all the abortion, that it's okay for a 12-year-old girl to go and get an abortion without her parents' consent. Can't even ride in a car without her parents till we're 16. There's so many things that they have restrictions on, but it's okay to go and kill your babies. And see, not enough of us as a church are standing up and saying no to it. Not enough of us are making a stand. See, that's what Moses saw. Moses saw brokenness, and he stood up and he made a stand for it. And God used him. He used him to lead a whole nation out of Egypt because he stood up and was bold. See, if we're complacent, we can't stand up and make a step forward because we're staying the same the whole time. If we're full, we're never going to keep growing. If we're full, we're not going to make a stand to our schools. You know, there's brokenness in your school. There's people that are hurting and cover it up with violence and with anger and drugs and alcohol and sex before marriage. And there's brokenness out there. And what are we doing to stand up and say no to it? What are we doing to go out of our way to be bold and to preach the gospel to our friends? See, mediocrity says somebody else will do it. Mediocrity says that, well, I see this need, but I'm just not going to do it. I'm too scared. I'm too scared to go out and to preach to my friends or to my family. That's because we've been satisfied. We're satisfied with where we're at. We're satisfied with just coming here once a week and getting fed a little and then going on with our normal lives and not stepping up and not doing more. But the Bible tells us to work out our salvation. The Bible tells us to grow. If we look in Ephesians 4:15, it says, "We will in all things grow up into Him who is the head." 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We are being transformed into His likeness in ever-increasing glory," which comes from the Lord. We need to continue to be formed into His likeness, to call out to Him, to ask for more, to say, "I am tired of just standing in the same place and not doing anything. God, I want more of You." We become complacent in our own spiritual lives with God, and we decide to watch movies instead of go and read the Word and grow closer to Him. We put other things in the way, and we become complacent. And it's not always thing that we do on purpose, but it just starts to happen. We stop growing. We stop asking God for more. We need to be a generation and a church that is not satisfied. That doesn't say stay satisfied with our salvation, with one healing that God has done in us. Right? One time you stood out in faith and you said no to a bully. That's not good enough. Do it again. What's holding us back is fear and pride, thinking that we got it all figured out. Can our worship team come up? I'm going to wrap this up. But this is what I want to leave with you. Is that God has called us into greatness. God has called us to do great things in His name. God called Moses to do amazing things that seemed so impossible for anybody. But He called him out and Moses did it willingly. He took a step of faith and he went out in greatness. And the reason he was great was he was never satisfied. He did miracle after miracle, but he was never satisfied. He kept calling out on the Lord for more. God, I need more. God, I'm not okay with where I'm at. We as a church need to be continually calling out on God. God, I'm not okay with where I'm at. Father, I need more of You. There's times in my life, a lot of times in my life, where I feel full. I feel like I'm doing good. But it's humility that needs to break in us. We need to get to the point of brokenness and saying, God, I can't do it on my own. God, I need You more. We need to get to that place of crying out for God just a little more, just another touch. Like the bleeding woman where she cried out and said, if only I touch Him. The point of desperation. We need to continually be at the point of desperation. The Bible says for us to pick up our cross daily. We need to die to ourselves daily. But we can't do that if we feel full. We can't do that if we think we got it all figured out. Humility needs to come in us and say, God, there's so much more You have for me. 1 Peter 2:9 says, For you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. He called you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. I want you to think about this. Do you know other people that are in darkness? Do you know other people that need the light? There are broken people all around us and we just see them and say, man, they are broken, but we're not going after them and loving them. We're not going after them and pursuing them and saying, can I pray for you? Can I love you? Just being their friend. We're at a state of brokenness and we need to be in the light. And we know people that are in darkness that need to be in the light. So I challenge all of us tonight that we don't be satisfied with where we're at. Don't be satisfied with just your salvation. Don't be satisfied with that one time you were in your room and you prayed and you felt the Holy Spirit come on you. That's awesome. That's amazing. Call out on God for more. Say, God, what else can You do in me? God, use me to reach my neighbors. God, use me to reach the people in my school. If we want to see a revival in our schools, we have to make a stand. We have to stand up and say, God, how can You use me? God, how can I minister to my coworker? God, how can I minister to the student who's next to me every day? God, give me the words to speak. You know, our salvation is a continual pursuit of God. We need to continue to pursue Him every day with all we have, saying, God, I want more. God, show me Your glory. God, you've done amazing things in my heart. God, you saved me from the darkness, but use me to save others from the darkness. God, I give you my life. God, I give you more today than I gave you yesterday. We need to continue to pursue Him every day with more than we did yesterday. Father God, we just lift you up today. God, we thank you for what you're stirring in our hearts, God. Father, we don't want to be complacent. God, we don't want to be the same today as we were yesterday. God, stir up a passion in our hearts like you did for Moses when he saw the brokenness of his place, of the Israelites, where he saw the brokenness and he made a stand. God, help us when we see the brokenness in this world to take a stand for you, God. Give us the words to speak. God, use us to minister your light into this dark world. Thank you, Father. We're going to go into a time of worship. And if you haven't given everything to God, or you feel like you're in this place of complacency, and you're just kind of riding out your salvation, or just kind of riding out your last experience with God, I encourage you tonight to call out for God and ask for more. Say, God, show me more. God, show me your glory tonight. God, what can you continue to do in me? God, what can I give up for you? Let's rise to our feet. Let's worship Him as a church, as a body of believers. Let's give back to Him and call upon Him for more. Jesus, I want more. If you want more, call it out. Jesus, I want more of you tonight. God, minister to me. God, show me the areas that I need to grow in. God, show me the areas I need to give up in my life that have been the same the last week, the last month, the last year, ever since I've been saved. God, speak something new in me tonight. How can you use me tonight? Speak your word to me, God. Convict me, God. I need more.